You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. I'm Shane Stetsny, along with Brent Smith. As always, this is episode 3 of the 2023 season, inching ever closer to round 1 at Antigo Lions Roaring Raceway. Brent, I know you're starting to get more and more excited, just like I am, and we had some big news for Champ Off-Road that actually just came out today as we record. We have a new presenting sponsor, U.S. Air Force. They've increased their commitment to Champ Off-Road. That's an exciting change and lends even more legitimacy to our series, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Shane. The U.S. Air Force has been around a long, long time, and it's great to be partnered with them. And then them to be our presented sponsor for the season is just amazing. Like we were talking earlier before we started the show tonight, it'd be cool to maybe see a flyby go by sometime this year or get more involved in what they do, because we know a Pro 2, Pro 4 fly around the track, but hey, it's pretty daggone neat to watch U.S. Air Force do their thing.
Yeah, and it's been great too. Some of the people that we've gotten to meet, some airmen that have come up into the booth with us, I'm always fascinated. You know, we do the interview with them on the show, and then the commercial break that follows, we'll sit there and chew the fat with them a little bit. And these are, you know, highly trained airmen who have flown on some of the most advanced technology that humanity has ever produced.
I know, it's crazy like to think that way, but they look at our sport as crazy and out of this world, and we look at what they do and how they protect us around our world, and that's nuts. I mean, the speeds that those guys are carrying, the G-forces are unreal, and that'd be some kind of ride to get to ride one of those jets.
Yeah, so just a little bit of background on the partnership. They've been a partner with Champ Off-Road since 2021, so the second year of our existence, but for over 10 years with Amsoil Championship Snowcross, who obviously is our sister, our winter sport, and up their commitment to Champ Off-Road. We'll see more of their delayed enlistment program swear-ins, the depth swear-ins that we've had at a couple of our Champ Off-Road races. Of course, remember they sent their drill team last summer to Crandon International Raceway. That was a really impressive show. So again, happy to have them not only still on board, but increasing that commitment to Champ Off-Road.
Yeah, and that's what our sport needs. Carlin, everyone at Champ Off-Road, we really need partners and partnerships to last for a long time, and the U.S. Air Force is going to be around for a while, and it's cool to have that name representing our series, because hey, I mean, it's hard to get people to stay interested, but anytime you throw a big name like that out at a big sport in a Class A sport, Pro 2, Pro 4, when you see those guys flying around and hauling the mail, hey, I like to look up in the sky and see that speed, because there's just nothing, anything like it.
Yeah, you talk about upping the cool factor of Champ Off-Road. Obviously, off-road racing already cool as hell, but when you can, you know, put the Champ Off-Road name next to the U.S. Air Force, it's just like, you know, a collision of two ultra-cool institutions.
Yeah, I'm so excited to get the season underway, Shane. Antigo's shortly around the corner, and just a hear all the excitement the team's putting their trucks and cars together, already getting some racing in, some guys going out this weekend and running. I mean, it's going to be some kind of showdown, those opening rounds 1 and 2.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a second here, we'll get our guest on, the third of our 4-person broadcast team, Nolan Castellian. But real quick, one correction I want to make. Back on episode 2, we did talk about the 170 side-by-sides. And we mentioned that we thought Raymond Denninger may not be racing. Well, I was at the Mayhem at the Motorplex over this past weekend at Dirt City in Lena, which was a great event, by the way. A lot of the drivers feel like a non-points race was actually more productive for preparing for the season than just a test day. You get to kind of do a dry run of a full race weekend. Hugely successful event. Can't wait to see how big Lena gets for us later this summer when we're there as part of the Champ Off-Road Tour. But anyways, Raymond Denninger, he was there, and certainly now we expect him to be in for the full season for Champ Off-Road. So we try to have some journalistic integrity on this show. And We got that one wrong, so sorry to Raymond Denninger. When you hear this, you will already have heard episode 2, obviously, and the family will be scratching their heads going, hey, what the heck? You know, we're in for the full year once again. So this is our correction. Sorry about that once again, and we'll do our best to stay abreast of all the developments and give them to you as accurately as we can. We make mistakes sometimes. Just ask our friend Brent here about his weather forecasts all last summer.
Yeah, I don't think that we ever could get the right weather on the date that we think. If it says it's going to be sunny and clear out, well, think again, we're in the Midwest, and just every time we talk about weather, you think about Bark River last year, how crazy it was, and we got the racing in. This is off-road racing.
Right. I'm trying to think back to which event it was last year, but live on the show, you said the skies are starting to clear up, and as you said that, it started to rain a little bit harder. I remember we had a good laugh about that.
Sun showers, buddy.
Anyways, as promised, now we're joined by our guest here for episode 3, another member of our broadcast team, Nolan Castellian. Nolan, welcome back to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so before we gave you a call here, we were talking about the theme of the first 3 episodes so far. The off-season felt like it was way too long. Weather here in Wisconsin for you and I is finally warming up, and now we can start to feel actually excited and look forward to that first round at Antigo. So how are you managing this last little bit of downtime before the sprint begins?
This part's almost the worst, I feel like. When the snow's gone and you're ready to be outside, but there's still no racing yet, that's kind of the worst part. But we've had some guys testing here at Crandon the last few weeks I've been able to go check out. So I've been getting my race car fill a little bit.
So you're up in Crandon for the summertime then?
Yep.
Man, I got to tell you, I badly miss living there just for that very reason. You'd summer in high school or summer's home from college, you'd wake up, you wouldn't even know that anybody was there until you heard the noise echoing through the woods around town. Well, I know what I'm going to do today. I don't have to work till 4 p.m. I'm going to go see whoever's out there and see what I can figure out.
Yeah, now we've got the magic of social media, too, so I can wake up and check my phone and people will post if they're here and I can be like, oh, cool, we're going to the racetrack for a little while.
Yeah, see us old guys, we had to actually drive out there and find out for ourselves.
I'd drive from Bark River. Me and Brock would skip school and we'd go all the way to Crandon. We're like, we're going to go and watch some testing. My mom's like, well, you got to go to school. We're like, well, after school, we'd like drive by the school because she worked by the school. So we go really slow and we're like, all right, she wasn't looking. We'd drive all the way to Crandon. Watch the Baldwins test all day. And my dad would be like, hey, Mr. Wanick called and said that you weren't at school and you weren't at ISD. We're like, oh, yeah, we didn't feel good today. Well, your mom said you went to school. We're like, yeah, we went watch testing. My dad's like, don't tell your ma.
Me skipping school would have never flown when I was in high school. But the fact that Crandon High School is like 3/4 of a mile from the track would just kill me. You know, you go to leave for lunch or
that would
step
suck.
Outside between classes and you hear the race trucks. You're like, oh, man, do I have to be here in school? Can I just go see some race trucks, please?
I was just about to say that was the worst for me in middle school and stuff. You didn't have a vehicle to go leave at lunch or something. You could hear the trucks in the classroom and it just felt like torture that they were making you stay in there.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Hey, so let's dive into some specifics a little bit. Nolan, what has you most excited, most optimistic about the 2023 season for Champ Off-Road?
Man, there's so much stuff to look forward to. The single class that I'm most excited about is Pro Spec, for sure. You guys dove into that some on the first episode. That class was so entertaining last year with just 4 trucks. We're going to more than double that, and I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, like I said on that first episode too, what I find super interesting is you kind of got the clusters or the cliques of different drivers. You got the buggy dorks. You've got some guys with side-by-side background. You've got, I guess, the two world experts of Pro Spec would be Chris Vanden Elzen and Nick Visser, the two guys who have, you know, a full race season under their belt already. And then you've got Rayford, the wild card, who the general consensus is he's going to pick it up immediately and run right up front.
Yeah, I was looking at wasn't able to make it up to Lena. They had their race last weekend. I wasn't able to make it up there, but I was keeping up on the scoring, and Rayford was laying down some seriously fast lap times right out of the box. So I think you're right on that. He is going to pick that up in a hurry.
Yeah, he actually did something really interesting too. He was there, and he admitted as much. You know, he was not there to race. He was there entirely to test. But halfway through the race on Saturday, when I was up there, did something I've never seen in off-road racing. He pulled in for a scheduled change of both rear tires. So he was experimenting a little bit with two different Kenda tires, trying to figure out what would work.
I heard that. That is definitely a smart way to use that new race that replaced the old test day that they had up there. It's still kind of a dry run almost.
Well, you know, Rayford, he's always trying to stay a step ahead of the game. You don't get that kind of smarts by accident. That's veteran smarts there.
Yeah, he's been around a long time and has been around a lot of smart people for his whole career. So they for sure know what they're doing over there.
Hey, so what about tracks? I probably know the answer to this, but what track on the schedule this year has you, you know, really excited to get back to or get to?
That is a tough question. I'm really excited about the changes that they made to Antigo, the different layout and running it in the opposite direction. But my heart is always looking forward to Crannon and Bark River, just because those are the two that I grew up at. But certainly Lena and ERX, and I'm looking forward to getting to Oklahoma as well. We have some great tracks on our schedule.
What about you, Smitty? You going to throw out the same hometown answer?
I don't know, man. I like when tracks mix it up, like Nolan was saying. I like the reverse way that we're going to go. It'll be interesting to see it in person, because how many years we've went there, it's been the same old Antigo, but it's a bullring track. It's cool. You have to survive it to do good. I mean, ERX, if you haven't seen it in person, my twin brother hasn't been there, and I've announced there now, what, 7 years? He hasn't even been there, and I'm like, dude, like, the elevation alone is just crazy. I mean, everything about it's over the top. Mr. Carlson, Andrew, and all the guys do a wonderful job, and they're always trying to make things bigger and better. And, I mean, obviously, Bark River is one of my favorite because, like you guys, you grow up around Crannon, and you hear that testing during the summertime, and you're still in school. Plus, I mean, just everything about that track is awesome because elevation, too. We say that a lot, but the natural terrain, the everyday dirt that's been there, along with all the clay they've put in now, and they've upgraded all their grandstands, their VIP towers. I mean, all the tracks really have come forward and made it really exciting. And then you talk about Lena, we talk about Bullring. I mean, one of my favorite tracks. I love short technical tracks because the drivers come to the top. They really do. They show their skill at that challenging of a little track. And I mean, I'm excited to go to Oklahoma too. We want to get out of here and show everyone else what this sport is about. And hey, I mean, I'm hearing some big things, what's going on through them and that new facility. So, I mean, if I had to pick one this year, I'd have to say ERX. I love Bark River. I can't wait. It's going to be badass, but ERX, I'm interested to see because they really do a great job in changing up everything.
Hey, both you guys touched on track changes, especially what's going on at Antigo, but the folks over at Dirt City and Lena threw an interesting wrinkle in this last weekend. The first day on Saturday, they had the track as we know it, and then for the racing on Sunday, they actually eliminated the split lanes and made that one huge wide lane through that rhythm section in the middle. So that might be an interesting wrinkle that we get to see when Champ Off-Road comes to town at the end of July, too. Brent, what I heard from you is that pretty much every track on the tour is one of your favorites. I got to rib you a little bit for the way you said it, but
well, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say.
Yeah, it's all great tracks.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. They are. And that's why I don't want to just pick one. And I'm not saying that I do have a problem with any of our tracks. Every one of the tracks is challenging. You have to show up. You have to drive. And hey, every track changes. That's why I love short course. I love off-road. So honestly, yeah, I'm from Bark River. I'm a Bark River boy. Me and my twin brother, we live and die this stuff just as you guys do. And we just want to see great racing. And all these tracks create great racing.
Yeah, I'll give an earmuffs warning to all my family and friends around Crandon and, you know, all the people behind the scenes at the track there. But I think for my money, ERX and Bark River provide unbeatably entertaining racing. And it seems like every year those tracks somehow get underdogs to the front of the field. We see, you know, the unthinkable tends to happen a little bit more often at those tracks. It just makes for such entertaining racing, such a great product for the fans.
Yes, absolutely, Shane. And that's what's so cool about it. Bark River is awesome. I mean, it's cool. You're from Crannon and you see that outside of your own favorite track. And it's because we've been around it a long, long time. Nolan as well. And it's crazy to watch the sport grow as well as see our favorite places become legendary tracks.
I agree with Shane on that point about Bark River and ERX really kind of putting on the best on-track product, at least the last few years. I don't know if it's got to do with the natural terrain there or the elevation change or what it is, but those places do seem to bring out the best in our competition.
Nolan, maybe you can give a different perspective on this too, on I guess both of the first two episodes. Brent and I talked about how it seems like even despite all the challenges of the last 3-4 years, that off-road racing kind of as a whole institution seems to be in a really good place right now. You know, how do you see that from your perspective?
Yeah, I totally agreed with what you guys said on the first episode about that. Obviously, we've been kind of through some tough economic times here, but for whatever reason, the sport continues to grow. And at least from my perspective, it's as healthy as I've seen it since I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, as far as pro truck counts and stuff like that. And the sportsmen and side-by-side classes are off the charts. So it's great to see it in the place that it's at, and hopefully we can keep it up for a long time.
And for me, it's not only the quantity, but the quality. I mean, you look at some of these classes. We talked about Pro Spec, a growing class that's just, you know, loaded with talent. You've got Pro Turbo Side-by-Side, which quietly might be the most talented class in all of Champ Off-Road. You've got Pro 2, which has 8 different winners, race winners, in the field for this year. All the sportsmen, the youth classes are enormous. And I'm not shocked that you agree with Brent and me, but yeah, Champ Off-Road, off-road racing in general, I think is in a really good place, which, like we said, with the economic challenges, we know how expensive everything is right now. I can't imagine the unreal costs of trying to maintain a race car or build a race car right now, but people keep showing up. And, you know, all winter we saw all the new builds, you know, all the new side-by-side guys putting together cars, and they keep showing up. That's a really encouraging sign, I think, for the future of off-road.
Absolutely. And I appreciate everyone that does. I don't know. I can't even imagine what they go through to put cars on the track every year, but I'm glad they do, because selfishly for us, it provides some really great entertainment, and we wouldn't be able to enjoy our summers quite as much without them.
Yeah, I totally agree, Nolan, and can't thank all the families. You know, there's some happy and some grumpy families throughout the summer, but a lot of times, I mean, I've been there, done that. You somehow, some way, you figure a way to get your truck and car to the track, because it's some of the best days of your life. And that's what we have to sit back and realize. I mean, sometimes I look at Shane and be like, man, we get to call the best sport in the world. Like, this is what we grew up only knowing in our heads. Like, I wanted to be a pro racer. I wanted to watch off-roads. And it's like, dude, this sport is bad to the bone. And I just, the more the merrier. And it's, you see these groups of families, and between light buggy all the way down to the kids' carts and all the way to your top pro four racers in the world. Like, we need everyone there to make this sport happen. And what we do year to year is just a stepping stone of what I think is going to be huge. I mean, that one day that curtain's got to open and be like, hey, yeah, NASCAR's awesome, but man, take a look at this short course stuff. You know, like, we've been saying it's been a secret our whole life, but man, let's get it out of the bag.
That's what I think excites me a lot about going down to Oklahoma to Mid-America Outdoors, is that off-road so far hasn't been able to establish itself in the southern U.S. And I think that's like a huge disservice to that part of the country.
Right, right.
You're talking about people that go absolutely crazy for Saturday night dirt track racing. This is a whole other animal. And all three of us, even we talked to fans at Crandon or at Bark River, or now I've talked to people at ERX that are, you know, sitting in the stands. How long you been coming here? How'd you find out? Oh man, you know, 3 years ago my buddy came out here, told me it was the craziest thing he ever saw, and then the next year he told me I had to go, and now I'm gonna go forever.
Right, right.
No, I just agree with that it's cool that we're gonna visit an area of the country that maybe hasn't been super served well with our product before. And that area has seen some side-by-side racing down there at Mid-America the last few years, and I think we're going to give them more than they can imagine with these pro trucks we're taking.
Hey everyone, Shane from the editing desk here to remind you that this podcast is presented by AMSOIL. AMSOIL invests heavily in product research to ensure they remain at the industry's forefront, and further testing occurs at racetracks around the world and right here in Champ Off-Road. AMSOIL lubricants have helped off-road's biggest stars capture countless checkered flags and championships. AMSOIL, run with us. And now, back to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by AMSOIL. When I texted you a couple of weeks ago, Nolan, and asked if you wanted to come back on the show, you said absolutely, and you said you were hoping to get a chance to come on before the season started because you had some predictions. So I want to dive into that a little bit. First, I do want to talk again about Pro Turbo side-by-side. I really do think that it's up there with Pro 2 as the most loaded pro class. You've got CJ Greaves, Andrew Carlson, Owen and Rodney Van Epren, last year's champ Hamish Kelsey, Johnny Holcher, Robert Loire, Kyle Chaney, Greg Michaud, who just won the Nitro Rallycross side-by-side championship, Elliot Burns. Is that the most loaded pro class that we have? And how do you see that playing out this year?
I certainly think it's the most loaded because, I mean, we have, last year there were three full-time Pro 4 drivers in that class. You had Rodney Van Epren, who's proven to be one of the best side-by-side guys in the Midwest for years. His son Owen, who's just as fast. And we had Hamish Kelsey coming out of nowhere from New Zealand and beat all of them. Definitely, I think that's the most loaded class. And on that note, I think it's the most unpredictable. And I don't know what we're going to see out of that class this year. I think CJ Greaves having another year of experience with the Polaris is going to throw him into the picture a little bit more. But I think Kyle Chaney probably really wants to get the bad luck, the black cloud that's been over him up here in the Midwest away and try and go for a championship. So it'll be fun to see how it turns out.
Yeah, you echoed a couple of the points I made on episode 2 of the podcast, which is not out yet as the three of us record this one. In the 3 years so far of Champ Off-Road, Pro Turbo has had three different champions and none of them were named Kyle Chaney. So for a guy that's won just about anywhere in the United States that you can win in a side-by-side, he's got to be the hungriest of them all. And that's a big pack of dogs to be the hungriest one out of.
Yeah, completely agree. That is a very talented driver and everything he's ever stepped in. And I think he's primed and ready to get that monkey off his back up here.
You know, another side-by-side class that I think is going to be super exciting and has been the last couple of years in Champ Off-Road is Sportsman side-by-side. And Nolan, I know you're really in tune with the Sportsman classes. I think this one might be, again, one of the most fun classes to watch. The champion last year, Jacob Blemke, pulled what we call the Greg Gerlach, won the championship without winning a race. He had to steal it away in the final rounds from Ben Berger, who might be like the bad luck king of Champ Off-Road, at least for the 2022 season. You've got the other fast guys, Riley Marquardt, Bryce Carlson, Sam Brzee, all guys that flashed on the podium. What do you think happens in that loaded class?
I think we see a lot of what we've seen the last few years, and that's a lot of comers and goers at the front. You know, we see a lot of guys win races. Like you said, Jacob won that championship last year without winning a race. So I was able to talk to him a couple of weeks ago, and he said he's excited to run that red plate. And I asked if he gave any consideration to moving up to Pro-Am, and he said not until he wins some Sportsman class races. So he's going to be going for wins. I think Bryce Carlson is going to be really fast this year and a more consistent podium contender. And like you said, Ben Berger had a lot of bad luck, and if he can put a full season together, I think he may be the guy to beat in that class.
Yeah, you mentioned Carlson. He actually won on Sunday up at the Mayhem at the Motorplex over this past weekend at Lena, so already off to a hot start. Brent, do you have any predictions for this one? We talked about it a little bit on a previous episode. It seems like consistency pays off in Sportsman side-by-side more than maybe anything else.
Yeah, I agree with that. Consistency really does make a huge factor. You have to be there every weekend. You have to have good finishes. And we've seen guys go up and down through this sport, have a good couple weekends, and then the rest of the year just, man, can't do anything to get a good finish. So, yeah, I mean, in Sportsman side-by-side, this year is going to be very competitive like it always is. But I couldn't point out one guy or gal that's going to dominate. I mean, Bryce Carlson, he's been really showing his gloves. He's been really looking good and having a lot of good speed in the car. And we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, it's going to be an interesting year. And anytime, like we've said, Shane, you put all these drivers on the track and the amount that they do, anything can happen.
And I think it makes it super important, especially for any of the huge Sportsman classes, you know, whether it's light buggy or some of the youth classes that are over 20 entries, when they get to Antigo here in a couple weeks, and then on practice and qualifying day, when the Sportsmen get to draw for those starting spots, it makes it so, so critical. We saw how disastrous that can be last year when you talk about a guy like John Coomer, who's a former winner in Sportsman side-by-side. I think he drew dead last out of 33 cars or so. And it basically ruined his whole season just by bad luck.
Yeah, and that's what stinks, bad luck. And I remember hearing it all the time growing up. You know, you have to have a lot of luck in this sport because, you know, some days you can't make things happen, you know, and the next day, hey, luck could be on your side and you could win the whole thing. So, yeah, I mean, you see it in any kind of racing. It's just a bummer deal. You never want to see your favorite driver or your favorite competitor go out with something simple. You always want to duke it out and bring it right down to the last lap. And sometimes it ain't your day, but other times, hey, you know, a guy sees a fast guy break and he doesn't have the same program as him. Maybe he hopes for those days to happen so he can get a win.
Nolan, you mentioned Pro Spec being one that you're really looking forward to this year. What about sportsman classes? Which one stands out to you as looks like it's going to be an absolute barn burner for this year?
I think Mod Kart is going to be very interesting this year with Carter Vandenhoevel stepping back in. He's the super talented race car driver. We saw him in the early days of short course kart win a lot of races against some kids that have grown up to be very fast and full-size vehicles. So I expect Carter to give Porter and Glazy a run and some of the newcomers moving up from short course kart. I think those are small cars, those mod carts, but I think that's going to be one of the best classes we see in sportsman racing this season.
Yeah, Nolan, I agree with you about mod cart. You know, last year, 9 trucks at some races, 10 at some of the other events, but very exciting. It's great to see a developmental class that remains strong like that. And you mentioned some of the names in there, but tell you what, man, Porter and Glazy, super fast last year, almost impossible to run down once he got out front. He looked very strong again at the mayhem at the Motorplex over this past weekend. I think he's going to be a really tough guy to beat, and I'm looking for him to put together another strong campaign and maybe repeat. What do you think about that, Brent?
Yeah, Porter, he's really well put together, a race car driver. He knows how to drive those trucks, and hey, you know, weight ratio to horsepower, these things are a wicked machine, and you have to keep them on four wheels and keep the rubber on the bottom side down because, I mean, you can get into trouble quick. But he does a great job, and my eyes will be set on him as well because seems like we talked about him nonstop in 2022.
By the way, Nolan, you brought up Carter Vandenhoevel. This will make you feel old even. You remember that he won a short course kart championship. I was talking to him in Lena over the weekend. That championship was in 2013, that long ago already.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about the same reaction I had. Yeah, time is undefeated. So looking ahead to this year, let's take off the announcer hat a little bit and put on the fan hat. I want to dive into the predictions you promised that would be a little bit bold. Do you have any locks for championships looking ahead to this year?
I'm not going to give any locks because last year I said after Antigo that I didn't think anyone was going to beat Brock Hager in Pro Light, and Kyle Greaves proved me every bit of wrong immediately starting after that. So I'm not giving any locks, but I do have some predictions in the pro classes that I think might surprise some people. Definitely ones you guys didn't focus on so much in your first episode of the podcast.
All right, well, don't tease us. Let's hear what you got.
Yeah, what are you waiting for? No.
For Pro 2, I think Ricky G has a serious shot at winning the Pro 2 championship this year because he showed serious speed at a lot of tracks the last couple of years. And we got to remember, he jumped straight from a mod cart into a Pro 2 at 16 years old, I think. So every bit of experience he gets under his belt is huge for him. And let's face it, how many guys has Charlie Sleevey been the crew chief for that haven't won a Pro 2 championship?
All right, I like it. That is bold.
It is.
Like we said, that class unbelievably loaded beyond belief. 8 different drivers have won races in the history of Champ Off-Road. You've got Corey Winter, who's been close to the championship twice now. You have Doug Mattag, Johnny Holcher, who burst on the scene with a win in his first race last year. But I like the pick. That is bold. You have not let me down so far, Nolan.
If we ran every race at Crandon, Mickey Thomas would be the Pro 2 champion by a lot of points.
I agree.
What about the sportsman ranks? Do you have any... Who's going to be the toughest to beat out of all those classes?
I am going with either of the Schultz boys in Light Buggy are going to be the hardest to beat in those classes. That's kind of a little hanging fruit there, but...
You got to pick one.
Yeah, you promised us bold.
Come on, pick one twin.
We'll take Connor then, because Collins won the last couple, and I think Connor's wanting to get one on him.
Okay, that's fairly bold.
You asked me for a hard to beat in that one. That's not a bold prediction.
Well, give us the dankest. What's the boldest one you have?
TJ Ewart knocks off Corey Holter for the stock truck championship.
Okay, now see, this is the kind of controversial take I like, and that's a great pick. He's had some mid-season win streaks the last 2 years. I also kind of singled him out. If he can, you know, catch that fire a little bit earlier in the season and get that momentum, I totally agree. I think he's going to be a competitor for the championship.
I was looking back, and he has won a stock truck race at every track on our sportsman schedule except for Antigo. So he's proven that he can win everywhere, and if he can just put it all together in one season, I think he's got a shot to knock Corey off.
Now, see, that's the kind of research that gets you on our podcast. We knew you were going to come prepared.
That's a good prediction.
Halfway prepared.
What about a driver, maybe one each, pro and sportsman, not necessarily a championship contender, but who's going to really jump? Who's going to take the next step forward and surprise us this year? Or maybe someone, you know, moving into a new class who's going to do better than we expect.
I know you said in one of the forums that the buggy guys in ProSpec this past weekend and Lena kind of looked like they needed to get used to those trucks a little bit more, but I think you're going to see both Dylan Parsons and Tony Keepers run very well in ProSpec. Both win a race, I think. And then as far as a sportsman guy who kind of jumps out and moves into the next level, Brent kind of was talking about it on episode one. I think Braden Boshaw in Superstock is going to be on a new level this year.
Well, that is another guy in Boshaw there who won a race at the Dirt City race over this past weekend. So, again, I think I like both of those picks. Brent, any comments?
No, man, those are very, very good picks. And it's cool to hear who you think, because, I mean, when it comes to the sportsmen and you could pick 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 guys or gals out of the classes because they're so competitive. I mean, you look at the Schultz twins. That's why I'm giving you a hard time. Pick one because, I mean, those twins are unreal. They know how to race. They're very calm, cool, and collected. They're in Mikey Vandenhoevel cars, so you know they're in good equipment, but they've proved that they can drive, and it's going to be fun to watch. And I just love all the sportsman divisions because we were there. We grew up around them. These are the heart and soul of Champ Off-Road, and we talk about struggles making it race to race. Yeah, these guys know how to put on one hell of a show, and they're just pinching pennies to put that show on.
You know, one guy that I talked before I hit the record button on this whole episode here, when I was talking to Brent a little bit, one guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do over the course of the season is Colt Wersba in Super Stock Truck. He put on a heck of a show at Dirt City over this past weekend, actually had the fastest lap in a Super Stock Truck of anybody, and that's racing against guys like Nick Bing, Joe Machosik, Braden Boshaw, Ben Holcher. He put down the fastest lap of the weekend. Ran really well both days.
Heck and yeah, I know that kudos his, to him.
Yeah, I know that his dad, Ben Wersba, raced in stock truck and super stock. They've kind of recommitted to their program for this year, and it already is showing up a little bit, so I'm looking for him to make some noise too.
That'd be great to see another kind of new face on the podium in that class, as we've lost a couple the last few years, so the more competitors in that class, the merrier.
Nolan, what about some of the guys and gals who have made some bigger leaps this year? So you've got Dylan Roloff moving up from the 570s into light buggy. You have Hope Conrad moving up from short course cart to stock truck. And then you've got two former mod cart kids, Antonio Inglesi and Michael Funk, racing in Pro Light. Are there any of those drivers that you can single out that may do better than we expect, especially since they're all officially rookies in their new classes?
I think they've all got a shot to be strong. I definitely think Funk and Inglesi moving into Pro Light. I think mod cart is a really underrated feeder class. You know, like Brent said earlier, the power to weight ratio in those things is no joke. Those are hard cars to drive, and I think you'll see kids move out of those carts into the bigger classes and do a lot better than you think. And as far as Conrad going from carts into a stock truck, we saw Braden Boshaw kind of do the same thing, not very far in between short course carts and super stock, and he's done well in that transition. And Dylan Roloff as well, running in the 570s last year, showed a ton of speed. And I think, especially in light buggy, it's all going to depend on that random draw on Saturday at Antigo, kind of how everyone's season's going to go. If he gets a good draw and starts up front, I think we might see him up front all season.
Yeah, it's interesting that you made the parallel, you know, jumping from mod cart to pro light. Obviously a huge leap, big difference in weight, but driving style, you can see the comparison there. And I think the same is true for Roloff going from the 570s to the light buggies. It's a little bit more momentum based. You kind of have to see the track in the same way and understand your car in the same way. I think that could translate. And he did actually run that light buggy at Labor Day weekend last year, the final rounds of the 2022 season, and ran mid pack and was really strong. So, you know, that's kind of maybe the easiest of the four to pick to do well this year, but I'm looking for big things out of Roloff. No relation to Taylor Roloff, by the way.
We found that out.
You may have just found out. I knew all along.
So Nolan, out of 2022 in the Champ Off Road Series, I mean, what was your biggest surprise of last year that you feel coming into this year will be maybe not as big as a surprise, like a driver that you've seen turn it up, but this year think that he might be the next one to make the move to the top?
I think Johnny Holter winning that Pro 2 race at Bark River was really surprising. I think he, CJ Greaves, Jarrett Brooks, and Andrew Carlson are the only ones to win in their very first Pro 2 start. So that's a pretty solid list, and I think he's a good enough driver that he'll become a pretty regular contender in that Pro 2 class.
And if I'm remembering right, the conversations that Brent and I had with him, they didn't really do a whole lot to that truck as far as whipping it into complete shape in the shop. They just kind of showed up with it. You know, they did a full race prep, but not some of the work that they ultimately wanted to do to it. So we may see that truck come back even leaner and meaner here for 2023.
Yeah, and that's a good piece to start with. Former Mark Peterson truck that I believe was a Greaves chassis at one point that Jeremy McGrath or Marty Hart may have run back in the day. So they've definitely got a good piece to start with there. And we know they can build very fast trucks off of it.
Hey, I got a fun one for you, Nolan. So which set of brothers out of the following is going to have the best combined season? This is, we could have like an unofficial brothers championship. You've got Mike and Jack Letourneau, both in pro stock. Tyson and Dylan Marquardt, both in pro stock side by side as well. Cody and Tyce Jones, Cody moving up to pro-am, Tyce Jones is in sportsman, or you got the Schultz twins. If there was a brothers championship, who do you think takes that championship?
So I think obviously the twins are kind of the low-hanging fruit there, that they'll probably be the best. But I think the pair that'll surprise people the most will be the Marquardt brothers. Tyson had a bit of a rough year last year in pro-am, but the year before he was right nipping on his brother's heels the entire season and just barely missed the championship. So I think him moving up into a new class where the starting order every race is determined on qualifying and not on points, where he was kind of in a hole right away last year and couldn't quite get out of it, I think you're going to see him and Dylan both have really good years in pro stock.
Yeah, I like that pick. I think Dylan is on the rise in that class as well. He picked up his first podium towards the end of the year. I think it was second to last round at Crandon, finished on the podium in pro stock for the first time. Obviously, Brock Hager gone from that class, so that's kind of a whole new ball game for everybody there.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's really going to open things up. We saw a lot of times last year, Brock and CJ just kind of check out and do their own thing, but I think we're really going to see a lot of different faces on the podium this season.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I mean, there's a lot of great names that you just talked about in these pro stock side by side and the sportsman side by side, and then you can't count out those twins. So it's just going to be awesome to watch them progress throughout the year and watch them all mature. And as these drivers move up through the ranks, it's fun to watch because they're so competitive and we know we're going to get the best out of them. Because I know as a racer, you're not there to make friends. You're not there to make enemies. But when you're on the track, you want to win.
Yeah, you're talking about some of the most hyper-competitive people all gathered in one place trying to prove themselves against their peers. And, you know, the quality of racing that we've had the last couple of years, you see the fruits of all that. These are guys that are all of them hungry. You know, some of the people that we talked about, like Kyle Chaney, one of the best to do it in a side-by-side, but comes to Champ Off-Road, and it's been a tough road to hoe for him, but that's just how stacked it is.
Yeah, our sport is just amazing. And like when you talk about Kyle Chaney, and it just keeps bringing me back to Antigo, because it couldn't have started off any worse. And then he goes up and picks a win up the next day. So like, that's how luck can be. And some days it's on your side, some days it's not. But the drivers that we have in our sport are fun. And we talked about Pro 2 a lot today, and just to hear the rumors of Jarrett Brooks coming back is just over the top. We want the best of best in this series, and Haven't really talked much about Kyle Kleiman, but you know he's ready to bounce back. He's a past champion, won multiple races in Pro Light, I think like 19-plus races. So it's going to be fun to watch Pro 2 this year because I couldn't put any number plate in front of me and say this guy's going to dominate this year because, man, it is a stacked field.
Well, we'd be really making a huge mistake if we had two Crandon guys on the podcast at the same time and didn't mention Keegan Kincaid in that Pro 2 conversation. Nolan, how hungry do you think Keegan is coming back into this year after the disaster that he had last year?
I think he's definitely going to want to go out and prove that that was just an off year and a fluke. I know Jeff's been hard at work in the shop all winter building up a new Pro 2 for him, and I'm excited to see what they roll out with. You know, Jeff has always been pretty innovative when he's building his trucks, and I talked to him at one point this winter, and he sounded pretty excited about getting that thing out here. So I'm excited to see what they've come up with, and hopefully see it back on the podium more often.
I've been in conversations off the microphone. I've been billing this year as the Keegan Kincaid Revenge Tour, and I'm extremely excited to see how it shakes out for him.
Yeah, I think King Kincaid's going to bounce back, and anytime you say the Kincaid name, you know they know what to do. And Jeff Kincaid, he had his off years. I mean, you guys could probably quote me if I'm wrong, but there was some years that Kincaid would lose 7 to 9 motors a year, and he'd just keep on coming back, and just all of a sudden he'd be back up on the top of the podium. So never say die attitude out of that Kincaid team, and they're going to be tough to beat, as well as Johnny Holger. Like you said, you talked about that older truck, but that don't matter. The kid can wheel, and it's going to be anybody's game. It's going to be a war, and that's what gives me goosebumps week in and week out to get to call the best sport in the world, because these drivers lay it all on the table.
I might have a trivia question that's going to stump Nolan, and I'm kind of proud of that. So last year, Keegan Kincaid did not win a race. I wonder when the last calendar year was that someone with the last name Kincaid didn't win a short course race in the Midwest.
I am going to say, oh man, was it one of Jeff's early Pro 2 years, 2010 to 12 or so, somewhere in there?
I don't have the answer. I was just hoping you did.
Oh, well, I'm going to guess 2012 maybe, Jeff in a Pro 2. I don't know. But that was before Keegan started racing.
I mean, that sounds about right. For all we know, it was probably much, much longer than that Kincaid has won a race. I know you're going to go look this up when we're done, too. So
there's definitely not a calendar year that Keegan hasn't won a race. So it would have, at least the last one would have been 2012, is the earliest possible year.
So in any case, yeah, safe to say he's going to be hungry and try to bounce back.
For sure.
Hey, Nolan, this now will be your third year on the microphone for Champ Off Road. Being that you're a veteran now, obviously a valued member of our team, has the new role given you a different appreciation for racing? Do you see it any differently than you used to?
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate how much the drivers appreciate it, right? Like, I've never, prior to doing this, gotten the opportunity to see, especially those sportsman guys that work so hard, the emotion in their eyes after they win a race, after how hard they worked and how much they put into it. Especially at Fall Crandon last year, there were a few, man, you'd see some tears in eyes that you'd never seen before, and it means a lot to those guys, and I've definitely gotten a new appreciation for that.
Dude, I've been telling people that for years. That's why sportsman racing is so great. These are people with, you know, as much on the line, if not more. You hear in some podium interviews, guys, you know, tearfully saying, you know, thanks to my wife for letting me do this. That's not for show. That's people who are fully committed, and you can take that double entendre any way you'd like there. They're not doing it for fame or recognition or, you know, huge paychecks. They're doing it because this is a sport they love. So that was a great answer. I'm excited that you appreciate it in that way. I think that's why we try to tell those driver stories too.
Absolutely. You know, they put in so much, and definitely like to tell their stories because they've all got some really great ones.
Hey, so let's also flash back to last Labor Day weekend. You got to come up in the booth for Pro Light, which was, I know, a little bit nerve-wracking for you. You know, our friend got to go out on the racetrack, and you were the guy coming out of the bullpen. What was that whole experience like, and how did you like being up in the booth, and can we get you up there more?
I sure hope so. You may remember, I actually got to go up the night before and kind of get some work in because one of our other colleagues was off goofing around in a class 11 car. So Brent and I got to got to do a super buggy race together there.
Yeah, goofing around is the right way to describe it, too.
yeah, it was super fun being in the booth, and I was a little bit nervous going into it just because kind of getting thrown to the wolves a little bit, I guess, on World Championship weekend and calling the closest pro points battle I can remember in a long time in that pro light class, but definitely got comfortable fast and had a lot of fun, and hopefully Brent can get that Pro 2 put together by the end of the year and I can come hang out in the booth with you a little bit more.
Now, see, Brent, he's already gunning for your job.
Yeah, it's all right. I love you, buddy. We have fun.
I'll drive the Pro 2 if you want to stay in the booth. Like, we can do that, yeah. Too.
I want to do it all, but I'm greedy. I want to do it all.
We can figure that out.
No, it worked out great. You did a wonderful job, dude. And I thank you for filling in, not for me, but just filling in one of our spots. You know, we're a team. You, me, and Haley and Shane. I mean, we stick together and we don't go behind each other's back. We're a great group that loves the sport. And it's just awesome to get to work with you guys. And from everybody that I've heard when I was in the truck, you did amazing. And I went back and listened to the call, and don't ever be nervous. You just call what you feel that's right, because what you do is the right way. And I think just your passion that comes out when you announce is who you are. And that's what people want to hear. And that's why Shane and I are up in the booth. Some days we might not say the right things or pronounce some of the things that we should do better, you know. I mean, as a group, though, we cover each other, and I think it all worked out. It was awesome for me. I got to run a pro light. I mean, Shane got to co-ride in a crazy bug. Like, glad he's okay. I mean, Kincaid took a hell of a spin with that, but it's cool what we get to do, and I can't thank Carl enough and everyone that makes it possible, because they're letting us play, and not only on the track, we get to, this is our job, but at the same time, man, it's hard to call it a job at the end of the day, because we get to call the best sport in the world. And I say that a lot, but honestly, you'd have to strike me down if I was lying, because I just love every bit of it. And what we get to do as announcers is just a small part of what the racers do on the track.
Yeah, Brent, you said a lot there, but I fully agree with all the sentiments that you put out there. Like you said, man, this is a super fun job that we have. That's pretty much all there is to it.
Yeah, it's great to be around everyone, and I can't wait to get the season started. I mean, it's already our third episode, and great to have Nolan on with us. Nolan, it's going to be crazy, dude. You ready for it?
Oh, yeah. I've been ready since Fall Crandon. I'm ready to be smelling race fuel and wiping dust out of my eyes again.
I'm right there with the both of you. Well, hey, that'll do it for this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. Thanks again to our very good friend, Nolan Castellian, for joining us on this episode. And for Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny, and we'll talk to you again soon about some Amsoil Championship Off-Road.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.